This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's your host, Will Doctor.
With us, happy 4th of July weekend. I'm your host, Will Doctor, taking you through the latest on the world of professional golf. Plenty to get to this morning, a ton to catch up on between the updates as far as the PGA Tour in 2028. A lot of changes coming. A lot of new intel that I'm receiving that we'll break down today. Lucas Glover is your leader at the John Deere Classic at the halfway point. Five-time PGA Tour winner. 2009 U.S. Open champion, 46 years old. He's not concerned with the money list. He's not concerned with a couple more million. Just showed up at the John Deere Classic this week looking to give himself another opportunity, and that is what he's done here. He's out front at 14 under after rounds of 63-65. Lee Hodges, another PGA Tour winner, two back at 12 under. And then you really have a lot of inexperience after that. Once you get past Glover and Hodges, Zach Blair, solo third, 63-68. Obviously, he's a journeyman, also a course architect, but has never won a PGA Tour event. Looking for his first, Jackson Suber, one of the better young players on the PGA Tour, second-year player out of Ole Miss. He's in a large group at 10 under par, which is four back right now. Yeah, I think Suber, let's go down the rest of this leaderboard. You have six players tied at 10 under. Jackson Suber, Tyler Duncan, Troy Merritt, David Lipsky, Ryu Hisasune, and Ben Coles. I think in that pack at 10 under, four back, I like Jackson Suber the most. You do have more experience when you get to the 9 and 8 under mark. Max Homa is 9 under. He played very well here last year, hasn't done a whole lot in 2026, but this could be a good breakthrough tournament for Max to get back in the winner's circle. You have Zach Johnson and Chris Goddard at 8 under. And Goddard, sitting 7 back, he's got to be the most dangerous chaser on this leaderboard. He's currently at 15 under. Three wins in the last 12 months. The John Deere Classic is where Goddard got his big run started last year before he won the Scottish and contended at the British. This is a very important week for Goddard. He loves this tournament. Goddard said yesterday in his post-round presser he loves trying out all the John Deere equipment when he's in Silvis for the tournament this week. At 7 under, you have two very exciting younger players. You have Preston Stout and Blades Brown there at 7 under. We're going to get into both of them. We're going to hear from Stout a little bit later on. Just finished runner-up in the national championship to Auburn. Stout, Oklahoma State. Jackson Koivun, who was making his first pro start today, number one ranked amateur out of Auburn. He was 27-1 going into the week. All the suits thought Koivun was going to strike early, going to strike hot. He's packing bag after 36. Welcome to the show. And Jordan Spieth, another notable name in this field, made the cut on the number at 3 under. It's going to be a weekend where you have to score. Obviously, if you get the ball going the wrong direction at TPC Deer Run, you're not going to make birdies. You're going to be grinding the whole time. But this is a golf course where two more 68s for a leader in Lucas Glover, it's not going to be enough. If he shoots, two or three under over the next 2 days, he's going to get lapped. You can't wait around on this golf course. There's going to be enough players who are creating chances for themselves. And if you're creating chances, if you're putting yourself in the fairway, the greens are receptive enough. It is scorable enough where 63s are out there. But I think Lucas Glover, I think he's a great 36-hole leader for this golf tournament. Glover, I believe he's played very well here over the years. Yeah, he has. He has won this tournament in 2021. You look at Glover's last three appearances here, two top tens, top 10 in 2023, and then a top five last year. So he knows this golf course very well. Not playing worth a damn coming into this week. You can look Lucas Glover's last, last six events here, he has not finished better than 37th in his last six events coming into this week. But this, you know, 128 through two rounds, it is Glover's best 36-hole total on the PGA Tour. There's only two players in this field that are bogey-free right now. Number one is Lucas Glover. Number two is the young phenom in Blades Brown. But Glover knows, he said in his post-round presser, he has to keep it going. He has enough experience in this golf tournament, has enough experience in this type of scoring tournament, have to keep the birdies going. John Belmer on the ones and twos today. Let's hear from Glover on that experience.
I mean, this is my 23rd year. There's nothing I hadn't been there, done that, to be fair. You know, I played in the last groups and played great, and I played in the last groups and played terrible. There's no formula other than hydrate and rest and keep the pedal down this week, because it's not going to be able to hang on. I mean, there's going to be birdies and eagles, and it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I'm fired up for Lucas Glover and his team this 4th of July weekend. Absolutely love his swing coach, Jason Bale, who just oversaw getting Bud Cauley in the winner's circle at the Canadian Open. And Jason Bale, obviously the guru behind Ryan Gerard's success over the last 2 years. Glover's, listen, this guy can go the distance. There's no doubt about it. He's not one of these players you're sitting there through 36 and going, you know, I'm not sure he knows what it takes. He's done this plenty of times. He's done it in a major. So I think Glover, he's going to have a good chance to win this thing. That said, it's going to take two more very low rounds. You know, players have been honest about some of the changes to this golf course. You know, a lot of them talking about number four being a completely different hole, much harder. You know, Spieth said he used to go around the corner off the tee on four and have wedge in, and now it's a big drive and a mid iron into a very skinny green. It's going to be an entertaining week, and I'll tell you that, because Glover's a vet, major winning vet. You know, the chasers could be better. I'm fired up about Suber. You look at Jackson Suber's last four events, and he's contended a lot. He could give you kind of that 2013-2015 Spieth story this week if Subaru was able to get his first PGA Tour event. But there's not a lot of big-time elite players who are very close to Glover on this leaderboard. I mean, Hodges is a PGA Tour winner, not someone I'm really worried about. Zach Blair, my confidence in him to keep it going over the big 72-hole marathon, not that high. Suber, I trust. Suber, I think, will be there on Sunday. Tyler Duncan, no. Troy Merritt, no. David Lipsky contended in Tampa, but that's about it for him this year. Ryu Hisasune, pretty dangerous player, but not one who's very proven in final rounds. I mean, you would have to go back to five or six back of this lead. You'd have to go back to down to Max Homa in solo 10th at 9-under. Chris Goddard up in the pack at 8-under, in a tie for 11th. Ben Griffin also at 8-under. Michael Brennan at 8-under. You'd have to go down to the 8 and 7-under pack, you know, 6-7 back of this lead, to find someone who could really test Lucas Glover, in my opinion. And I think Glover's even more intimidating, being that, yeah, he's 119 on the FedEx Cup standings. He does not care at this point in his career. Listen in.
Not really, honestly. Like, I'm too old to chase that stuff, to be fair. I just want to play. I just wanted to play well again, and I've struggled. So having 2 days like this just gives me a little belief that it's in there. You know, been working hard at it and hadn't seen many results, and have for 2 days. That doesn't mean anything tomorrow. Doesn't mean anything Sunday, but for these first 2 days, my work's been paying off, and I got a couple more days to keep fighting and keep doing it.
You know, we saw Lucas Glover have this type of season back in 2023 when he won his fourth and fifth PGA Tour title. When you look at that year, Lucas Glover was rolling into January. rolling into the beginning of July in 2023 with one top 20 on the season. He had played 24 events without finishing better than 20th because, as you'll remember, he had a big-time case of yips with the putter. And you look at his last five recently, Lucas Glover, and that's what tends to come and go. Lucas, you know, he can get on very bad putting streaks. He can go, you know, 6, 7, 8 events in a row, putting absolutely horrible. Putting like if you took your wife to the putt-putt. That's what Lucas Glover can start to look like here or there when he's not at his best. But when he's putting average or just above average, like he started to do at the end of 2023, he can get going quick. You look at that year in 2023 for Glover. He got to Detroit at the beginning of July. He went 4th in Detroit, 6th at the Deer, 5th at the Barbasol. And then 2 weeks later, he wins back-to-back tournaments at the Wyndham Championship at Sedgefield and in Memphis at the FedEx St. Jude. So this is a veteran, like Adam Scott was talking about earlier this year. Some of these veterans, they don't need all the momentum in the world. You know, they can miss 4 or 5 cuts in a row, not do a whole lot, and then once they've found it a little bit, you know, they can go get into contention. And I don't want to discredit the rest of the players in the top 10, even though I don't think they can make a serious push at Glover. You know, Lee Hodges feels, we're going to hear from him later, Lee Hodges, who's 2 back, he feels as good with the putter as he has in his whole career. He said that Friday's putting, Hodges opened 64-66. These first 2 days of putting, particularly Friday, Hodges said was probably the best single putting day he has ever had on the PGA Tour. You know, Zach Blair, 3 back. You know, seeing if, you know, he... Zach Blair yesterday opened 63-68, says he'll need to drive it a little bit better over the weekend. Blair is not top of the charts as far as driving distance. He'll need to get everything in the fairway if he's going to contend. But... Yeah, they should all be very frightened of Lucas Glover, because if this was a tournament where he had to preserve a lead and make a lot of pars, you know, if par was a good score, I think that you would see a little bit more of Glover's nerves. Because it's a birdie fest for the top of the leaderboard, Glover actually feels more comfortable in this situation. Listen in.
I know good and well that it's going to take a lot more, so there's not going to be any hanging on. It's, you know, the pedal's got to be down, stay aggressive, and I like that mindset versus, you know, say trying to hang on and just make pars a bunch. It's easier to sleep on a lead that way, would be the best way I know to say it, when you know that you don't have to play like I played yesterday and today to even have a chance.
Yeah, so the tee sheet Saturday is very good. And, yeah, as we heard from Glover, you know, he is someone who, as long as he's having a positive putting week and not feeling yippy from inside 10 feet, he can go on big runs. He can win in the runaway scoring festival. You look at Glover's wins, his first win in 2005. He took it to 23 under at Disney Resort. Obviously won a U.S. Open at 4 under in 2009. Let's just look at these last 3 wins for Glover. 2021 here at the Deer, he took it to 19 under. Beat Ryan Moore and Kevin Na by 2. Sedgefield in 2023, beat Russell Henley and Byung-Hun Ahn by 2 shots at 20 under. And then won in Memphis in a playoff over Cantlay in 2023 at 15 under. Lucas Glover can win really any way you put it. Obviously, yesterday he said he feels better when there's more scoring going on and he can't put the brakes on. But over his career, over his 6 wins, including a major, he has done it both ways. The tee sheet Saturday is very good. Final group, Lucas Glover, Lee Hodges, Zach Blair at 11:35. Right in front of them at 11:24 is Jackson Suber, Tyler Duncan, and Troy Merritt, all at 10 under. You have another group at 10 under going off at 11:13 in Lipsky, Hisatune, and Coles. And then at 11:02, Probably this is your most interesting non-final group of the day at 11:02. It's Max Homa, Zach Johnson, and Chris Goderup. There is a winner who could potentially come out of that group. You know, Zach Johnson's now on the Champions Tour. You know, obviously did a – well, first off, Zach Johnson, I like to start with this when it comes to his resume, and we'll get into more on Zach. But Zach Johnson has a green jacket and has a British Open at St. Andrews. It doesn't get much better than that. Obviously, he had his struggles captaining the American teams, Ryder Cup, President's Cup, one of the worst captains of all time. He has now turned 50 on Champions Tour, playing very well and feeling, you know, the press asked Zach Johnson, and Zach's at 8-under. The press asked Zach, you know, are you here just to, you know, show up for John Deere? And, you know, this is the tournament that gave you your first chance at a college. And, you know, Zach Johnson at 50 years old, he's telling the press he's here to compete. He is here to take down this golf course. He is fired up for 4th of July weekend and trying to get another Renaissance win. We will get to Zach Johnson. We will get to Preston Stout. We'll get to Chris Goderup. And we will get to the changes that are on the way to the PGA Tour in 2028. We'll go through the pros and cons again. I have a couple more updates. You know, this Challenger Series has a lot more to do with LIV Golf than you're being led on to believe. And the fact that Jordan Spieth and Zach Johnson started this week saying that these changes that have been introduced in 2028, Jordan and Zach said everyone's overreacting and that the tour has actually looked like this for the last couple years. It has not. There has never been a situation on the PGA Tour where a player of the caliber of Chris Goderup or Ben Griffin is not allowed to come play the John Deere Classic or the Rocket Mortgage. The smaller middle-tier tournaments. This is brand new. The fact that the Championship Series player, the top 80 player, cannot go play a John Deere Classic or a Houston Open or a San Antonio Open, Palm Springs, you know, Disney. They're going to have the – listen closely. Golf Elite is going to have their schedule. Middle class, the PGA Tour, it will have a different schedule. And it's going to be two tiers. This is the exact same mess that you have seen tennis start to develop over the last 20 years. Too much going on at the same time. Think about when pro tennis comes to Houston every year. You know, who's sponsoring the Houston Clay Court Tennis Tournament? Some jewelry store now that no one's heard of? Now, why is that? It's because there is a more elite tennis tournament going on across the pond. I believe it's Monte Carlo, going on at the same time that the better Europeans are going to. And that happens often on the tennis schedule. And now that you're going to have, you know, events crossing over.
This is ESPN 97.5. The Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
All right, let's get into these changes for the 2028 PGA Tour schedule. It really revolves around two things: the Challenger Series and the potential for new match play as far as the Tour Championship is concerned. The top-tier championship series is the easiest part to sell. The top-tier championship series, I agree with Spieth and Zach Johnson that it's something that is already going on. The elevated events or the signature events, and the tournaments like the Players and Bay Hill and Memorial, they've been going on forever. We understand that the best players in the world are going to be at those tournaments. The tour has done a good job starting in 2028. You're going to have 100 to 125 players in those fields rather than 70. You will have a 36-hole cut. So these are good updates to the top level of the PGA Tour. I want to start there. The Challenger Series is where it begins to get very complicated. And once again, if you're just joining, if you haven't heard the news and the updates to the tour in 2028, the tour is moving to a two-series structure. Structure number one, the top level, will be PGA Tour Championship Series. And then level number two will be PGA Tour Challenger Series. Championship Series is top level, and then the Challenger Series is the primary pathway into the top level. And, yeah, of course, the tour, they said all their normal talking points built around meritocracy and promotion, relegation, and clear stakes. Championship Series will have 23 to 24 events, including the majors and the players. And then the top players from – basically, they're going to hold 90 cards – 91 cards on the Championship Series, and if you finish outside the top 91 at the end of the Championship Series season, then you will go play the Challenger Series in the fall and try to get your status back. The level below Championship Series, this is already way too complicated, by the way. I mean, I understand this as a golf fan, someone who's read over this, you know, four or five times over the last 2 weeks. I mean, how do you expect to explain this to the average sports fan? The Challenger Series, the second level PGA Tour, Tier 2, will have at least 20 events, fields around 144 players, and full 72-hole tournaments, 36-hole cuts. Let's see, and then the new update here, the tour says approximately 7 Challenger Series events will be played during Championship Series off week. So let's see, you're gonna have about 16 weeks a year where there's two tournaments going on. You'll have a Championship Series event going on at the same time as a Challenger Series event. There's a couple problems here. There's only going to be 20 Challenger Series players that get promoted to Championship Series every season. And the only way to win immediate promotion to go from Challenger to Championship is to win two tournaments. If you win two tournaments in a row on Challenger, you move up to Championship immediately. The bad part is, under no circumstance can a Championship Series player play down into Challenger events. So, like right now, starting in 2028, if the John Deere Classic is a Challenger Series tournament, and Chris Goddard and Ben Griffin are Championship Series players, those two cannot come play the John Deere Classic. If the Byron Nelson is a Challenger Series event, Jordan Spieth cannot go home and play that tournament. If Houston is a Challenger Series tournament and Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy want to come play Houston 2 weeks before the Masters to give themselves the best available preparation, if Houston is not a Championship Series event, they cannot play it. That is a massive change. Once again, I understand everything I just said over the last 8 to 10 minutes. It's so complicated to understand that the tour is going to get away with this. But the John Deere Classic is a perfect example, because if you didn't have, you know, your Chris Goddard-ups and your Ben Griffins, I mean, this leaderboard, Lucas Glover, Lee Hodges, Zach Blair, Jackson Suber, Tyler Duncan, Troy Merritt, you know, these players cannot hold the product up on their own. It's great to have some of these unknown guys, but you also have to have your star players if people are going to watch. You have to have your Goddard-ups. Goddard-up a guy who has won two times so far this year coming into this tournament. No one else in this field has done that. Here was Goddard-up. He's six back heading into the weekend. Highest-ranked player in this field. He got, you know, they're going to take away sponsors exemptions in 2028. Dahlke, I mean, not Dahlke, we'll get to Brad Dahlke. Goddard-up got his first start out of Oklahoma 2 years ago at this tournament via sponsors exemption. So while we complain about sponsors exemptions in 70-player fields, you know, taking them away at a tournament like this, 125 to 144 players, taking the sponsor exemption away from this, this type of tournament, a Detroit, a John Deere Classic, you could ultimately take away opportunity from very elite college players like Goddard-up was 2 years ago. Here was last year's Scottish Open winner, Goddard-up, on the difference in his game between last year and this year.
Yeah, definitely a different player. I mean, I think you know, I kind of, you know, especially here my first year, I think it was like my third tournament as a pro, coming fourth was like, all right, you know, I think I got something here. And then to be able to, you know, play well and kind of climb my way up the ranks has been fun and hard, but fun at the same time. And I feel like, you know, my bad weeks have gotten a lot better, which is a good sign. And obviously, you know, my good weeks have resulted in really good. So hopefully this is a good week. And, yeah, just keep grinding along.
Yeah, I like to see Goddard-up 66-68, 15-1 heading into the weekend. This is the kind of guy you need climbing up the leaderboard over 4th of July weekend. You know, you have to have – I cannot believe that the tour is going to go to two models and keep the players separate. I can't get past that part. You have to have your big fish, your Goliath and a Chris Goddard-up, really trying to dismantle someone's dream of becoming a first-time PGA Tour winner. That is a key part of a good PGA Tour product. If Chris Goddard-up was not tied 11th right now and had a chance to win this tournament, I'm telling you, the viewership would completely change for this tournament. Like, the deer always shows out, but it's continued to get weaker and weaker every year. Through two rounds, Jordan Spieth has failed to get himself in the mix. You have to have your one or two star players in there who are going to test some of these more inexperienced players. And obviously you have Glover, a major champion and multiple-time PGA Tour winner at the top of the leaderboard. I don't want to discredit him, but he will tell you, these first two rounds for Glover, it has taken him by surprise to some extent. He's about to graduate to Champions Tour. A lot of these tournaments, if they become challenger events, take Texas. You know, there's going to be 23 to 24 championship series events. Colonial in Fort Worth will probably be the only event, the only tournament in Texas that's a championship series event. So, who's going to play Houston? Who's going to play San Antonio? Who's going to play Dallas? If Texas Children's Houston Open becomes a challenger series event, who's going to play? If San Antonio becomes a challenger event, who's going to play? Byron Nelson in Dallas, who's going to go play there if it's a challenger event? Because, once again, Scheffler can't go. He's going to be a championship series level player. The top 80 players on the PGA Tour will not be able to go play, once again, challenger level series tournaments. Tampa, Innisbrook, Palm Beach, PGA National. Who's going to go play these tournaments? And I don't mean this as any kind of insult to the Korn Ferry Tour player, the Americas Tour player, DP World Tour. I'm just still trying to figure out how they're going to fill a 144-player Challenger Series tournaments. If it's not going to be sponsors exemptions, and we're going to hear from Preston Stout on the other side, top five PGA Tour U player, the way they're going to fill these Challenger Series tournaments is by bringing the LIV guys back. LIV is going to fold at the end of this year. All those players are going to need a place to play, and they don't want to be suspended. They don't want to be embarrassed. They don't want to be told, hey, go play on Korn Ferry Tour, European Challenger. We're going to, you know, since PGA Tour Commissioner Brian Roloff and LIV Commissioner Scott O'Neill are best friends, it's very clear they have worked together. They are in cahoot to create something where the LIV golfer can come back and compete on a semi-PGA Tour schedule. And if they win two times, they can go back to the PGA Tour. The Challenger Series event, they're saying, oh, this is more opportunity. And it's actually, if they keep Korn Ferry Tour and Americas on top of Challenger Series, then Challenger, Korn Ferry Tour and Americas, they're going to be playing for way less money. There might be more opportunity, but they're going to be playing for way less money. I think that the Challenger Series could be a temporary tour, a temporary second-level tour for when LIV is done at the end of this year. Those players can all come back and play the Challenger Series and not be embarrassed. Hey, it wasn't a big suspension. It wasn't a big fine. You didn't have to go play the Hooters Tour. You didn't have to go play the Barbecue Tour. This is a place that there's some punishment here, but if you win twice, you're back on the best level of professional golf in the world. Quick break. This is the Golf Hour with Will Doctor. Back after this.
ESPN 97.5.
This is the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Doctor.
All right, Preston Stout became the 10th Oklahoma State Cowboy to win the NCAA National Championship just a few weeks ago. And now he is the low amateur in the field going into the weekend at a tie for 19th at 7 under par. 7 back of the lead. And really through the majority of the first 36 holes, Stout was close to the top leaderboard. You know, played his last 8 holes yesterday in even par. Wasn't thrilled about that. But Stout, nonetheless, still an amateur, by the way. Happy to make his first PGA Tour cut. Listen in.
No, I mean, it's exciting. I guess, it's a big achievement for me. It's my first made cut, but, yeah, just a little frustrated with my finish. I kind of got loose with the driver on the back nine, but, I'm so excited to play a weekend, and it'll be fun, so, yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, this is his fourth career start on the PGA Tour. Played the 3M in 2025, missed the cut, played in Dallas earlier this year, missed the cut, and then competed in the U.S. Open after winning the NCAAs, missed the cut there at Shinnecock as well. But this is a player who, very aggressive game plan, not someone who's going out there looking at the center of the greens. He's a junior at Oklahoma State from Richardson, Texas, looking at flagsticks only. He is not out there taking the decade golf approach, middle of the green. If he's got a wedge in his hand, his main goal there is to break the flagstick with the golf ball. Listen in.
Yeah, just attack. I mean, the course is super gettable with how soft the greens are. Just try to keep it in the fairway and then fire out a lot of pins.
So Stout was a, you know, Stout was a sponsor exemption this week. I'm almost positive. Let me double check here. Let me just double check this field list, because if Stout, you look at last week, the Travelers, Ben James was the sponsor exemption. He's a hometown player who made the cut, played very well. Actually, I don't even think there was a cut last week at Travelers, but Ben James was up there again through 36. Let's look at these sponsor exemptions for this week. Preston Stout, okay, he was the sponsor exemption. So I think in an 144-player field like this week, I think these sponsor exemptions, I think the title company of the tournament, John Deere, you know, should absolutely have a say. But I think differently for a 70-player signature event. I think if it's only going to be 70 players, then it just needs to be the top 70 best players in the world. If it's 144 players, invite the best college player in the world. Invite the best player from PGA Tour Americas. Invite the best player from Challenger Tour. I don't really care when it comes to the 144-player field. What you don't want to do is, if John Deere Classic becomes a Challenger Tour event, you don't want to lose out on having a top-tier college player like Preston Stout or a top-level junior like Mason Howell. You want to keep those players around. Let's hear from some players more working down this leaderboard. Zach Johnson is a surprise at 8-under. 64-70, Zach has been playing very well on PGA Tour Champions. He talked about, you know, the idea of still hanging around some of these leaderboards at 50 years old. Listen in.
Y'all know me well enough to know I'm not surprised, but yet there is some gratification. Man, I'm so fresh on the last hole. Like, making a bogey on that last hole just chaps me more than anything. So that's where my mind goes immediately and stays. And I hit a good putt. But, yeah, I feel, I don't know. I mean, there's certain tournaments that I feel like I can still do it. There's some that I'm going to need my A-plus game to even remotely have a chance going into the weekend, let alone on Sunday. Does that make sense? Given the state of the game, given the golf courses and the nature of what's going on with these young guys. And that's fine. I mean, that's why I have the opportunity to play on the other tour. But there are certain courses that, I mean, technically I'm not even sure if I need to play a practice round. You know, I mean, I know the nuances. I know the subtleties. And I know where you cannot go. And that is a big part of the way I navigate courses. I play the hole backwards every hole, and then that's how I plot my way. And when I'm doing that effectively and I'm hitting the middle of the face, it just comes down to making putts. So, you know, I shot 1-under today. I felt like I should have – I left a lot out there, the way I feel. But at the same time, I may have grabbed a few yesterday that I probably shouldn't have, so maybe it does even out. I don't know. I got a chance, and that's all I can ask for. I'm not going to sit here and say I'm surprised. I'm not going to rest in the fact that I made the cut. I'm here as a competitor to try to demolish this golf.
Yeah, so, you know, you have to take, you know, Zach Johnson, 60-1 heading into the weekend, 5 back of the lead. You look at, since he turned 50, Zach Johnson turned 50 at the beginning of March, and joined the Champions Tour, the Senior Tour. He has only finished worse than 8th once. That was at the Masters. He won his first Champions Tour event at the beginning of March. Finished 3rd. Let's see. In every Champions Tour event he's played, he's played eight of them. The worst he's finished is 8th. So playing very good golf at the moment. I still as far as who I think is going to make a move today and have a chance to win this thing tomorrow, Chris Goddard's going to work his way at the leaderboard 15-1 right now, and I still believe, you know, Goddard and Tom Kim, Goddard at 8, Tom Kim at 7, they were both hit by some kind of bad weather, big winds towards the end of their morning round yesterday. I thought both of them could have gone a touch lower in those last four or five holes. But I think both of those guys, you know, Tom Kim still at 35-1, which is where he was at the beginning of the week. Both of those guys should be able to make a move come today. We'll get to a couple more topics in the world of golf on the other side. This is the Golf Hour with Will Docter. Back after this.
You're listening to the Golf Hour
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
From the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Will Docter.
I just got this update. Jordan Spieth came out this week and said, Jordan Spieth said that, and I quote, "I do think that betting in golf is something that's going to have to be tackled here soon." Spieth pointed out that spectators who have money riding on tournament outcomes may have more incentive to root against certain players or even attempt to influence play. Let's start with this. I think Jordan Spieth is one of the best talkers amongst the players that we've seen in the last 20 years. I love Jordan Spieth's insight. I can't wait for him to join Jim Nance in the CBS booth one day once Spieth's playing career is over. I think he's a smart guy. I think when he talks about the future of the professional game, I want to believe that most of the time he does it with the best intent and the thought of what tour does he want his son to play on. I say all of that to tell you that I don't need to hear a word from Jordan Spieth on the world of gambling. Do yourself a favor and Google the sponsorship endorsement deal that Jordan Spieth has with FanDuel Sportsbook. Do yourself a favor and check Jordan Spieth's last 6 tweets. They are all plugs for FanDuel Sportsbook. The fact that he went on a limb, this must be something he was paid to do. What was to go out and say, "Oh, it needs to be. Let's get a headline going for the John Deere Classic. There's not a lot of star power in the field this week. Hey, Jordan, can you go out and say that gambling and golf is getting out of hand?" You know, this goes back to Shinnecock and the U.S. Open, and a lot of people, you know, not thinking the Long Island golf fan was very disrespectful, and I agree. I don't think they've been good golf fans, good supportive golf fans at not only the U.S. Open but also at Bethpage for the Ryder Cup last fall. It's just back and forth with the pro golfer. You know, on one hand, you know, let's say this week for the John Deere Classic, the top players thinking, how can we get more fans here? You know, why doesn't the average sports fan want to come watch the John Deere Classic and the Houston Open like they want to come watch the U.S. Open? But then when you get your drunk sports fan and your sports fan that has a wager and your sports fan that's going to the NFL and the NBA game, you know, they're shouting in backswings, then it's too much for the golfer. You know, Brooks Koepka and Jordan Spieth, they want Patrick Mahomes money, right? They want the NFL money. But then when the NFL fan shows up and starts screaming, "Oh, it's no, it's way too much. We can't have that. Don't sell any more tickets. Move the tour championship to Pine Valley and Monterey Peninsula. Keep the public out." No way. You know, but no, in all seriousness, of course, the fan behavior in Long Island for the U.S. Open and the Ryder Cup, sure, it was a little out of hand, but then for Jordan to come back this week and say, "Hey, it's all due to sports gambling," when he has a huge multi-million dollar endorsement deal with FanDuel. Come on, Jordan. We got to be better than that. Look, everyone have a great 4th of July weekend. God bless the United States of America. We will talk next week as far as the world of golf is concerned.